Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message today, I want to give you a short update on what's going on over here in Kenya. I'm in Kenya as we speak, and we're having back to hot and dry weather again, and so we can't seem to get into the rainy season like we normally do this time of year. It's been very halting, and the rains are struggling to come. But we thank the Lord we have a good maize crop coming up. We have beans and vegetables coming up, and so we're thankful for the rains that we've had up to this point. And so we have also a need in the ministry here. Our pastor was in a car wreck 2 weeks ago at a bridge. A truck was trying to overpass on the bridge, and the truck only had one headlight, and so it seemed to be that it was a Bota or a motorbike or something. Anyway, the pastor got caught out there on the bridge with the truck coming at him. He tried to back off quickly, but he was not able to, and so he was hit by the truck, pushed down the bank, and caused a lot of damage to the car. And so we have a need of about $2,500 to fix up the car. And thankfully, by the grace of God, the pastor was not seriously injured, although he still has some neck and back pain. It doesn't appear to be that he was seriously injured. And so we praise the Lord for that. And then the other need that we have, we're starting to have a children's fun day every other Saturday, and we're hosting about 150 of the village children every other Saturday. We're feeding them, giving them Bible stories, playing football and other games, and it costs us about $100, $100 to $125 each Saturday that we host this children's fun day. So we're going to trust the Lord that he can bring us $125 extra every other Saturday, that we can continue with this children's fun day. We can continue because many of these children coming are of the Muslim faith, and so we can tell them about Jesus. We can instill in them some knowledge of Jesus and knowledge of the gospel. And so if you can help us with that, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast. We'll get you contact information, and you can help us as we continue with these outreaches here in Kenya, Africa. Well, as I spoke before, the message in Jonah is a powerful message because Jesus said, Jonah is going to be a sign of me. And the sign is that because Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, Jesus said, I'm also going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And so we have this story about this man, Jonah. He was given a commission to go preach to the people in Nineveh over in what is now present-day Iraq. And Jonah rebelled from the Lord. He didn't want to do what the Lord had asked him to do. In fact, he got a ticket to get on a ship and go 3,000 miles in the opposite direction. Well, this is a typical reaction many times when the Lord calls us to do something. I've been in that situation myself, and I'm sure many of you listening to me today have been in that situation where you know God is calling you to do something. God has pointed you in a direction and given you a charge and a call, and you up and go in the opposite direction. And I did that for about 20 years. Finally came back to that place where the Lord said, I want you to be a preacher of the gospel. I want you to take the good news of the gospel to the nations. And when I finally submitted to God, finally got down on my knees and repented of my rebellion and said, okay, Lord, I will serve you. I will go where you want me to go. I will be what you want me to be. And by the grace of God, I've come to the place where I have peace and fulfillment in doing God's word and in preaching the gospel. And so this is a lesson for us, just as it was a lesson for Jonah. Well, last week we talked about chapter 2, the book of Jonah, and Jonah actually died in the whale. His spirit went down to hell, to Sheol, and Jonah was not kept alive in that fish all of those 3 days. He died there, and his soul, his spirit, went down to Sheol, and God rescued him. God gave him salvation from his place of death, from his place of torment, at the foundation of the mountains in the sea, and in the place of Sheol, the place of hell. And God gave him salvation. And the last verse that Jonah says in verse 9, chapter 2, I will sacrifice to you, O Lord, with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so at some point, Jonah had vowed to the Lord that he would carry out this mission that God had given him. He had vowed to the Lord that he would go preach to the people of Nineveh. And so then the whale spit him out, put him back on the land. And now Jonah is ready to be obedient to the Lord. He's ready to go where God has called him to go. And he's ready to do what the Lord has called him to do. So the word of the Lord, chapter 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And God will keep speaking to you. These are my words. God will keep speaking to you, your commission, your charge, until it comes to pass. Beloved, God is a God of second chances. God is a God of third chances, fourth chances. And don't ever think God is going to give up on you as long as you have breath on this earth. God will keep speaking to you, and you may have been running from the Lord for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe even longer than that. And God is a God of many chances, and he will not give up on you. And when you come back to the Lord and you say, okay, Lord, I will serve you. I will do what you're asking me to do. When you come back to that point, it's as if you never left, because God still has your destiny intact. He still has your commission intact. He still has your charge intact. And so when you come back to that point where he called you first time, God will send you from that point, and you can keep going, and he can restore to you everything that the devil has stolen from you. He can restore what the stripping, the chewing, the gnawing locusts have stolen from you, and you can go forward. Time is not a factor with God. God invented time. And so he can restore all those things you think you've lost. All of those ways that you think that God isn't able to put the pieces back together. God has a way to put the pieces back together. And he will restore to you everything that the devil has stolen from you. And so if God has spoken to you years ago, you disregarded it, you were in rebellion, you ran from God. If God speaks to you again, if you come back to the Lord and you repent and you ask the Lord to forgive you and you come back to the Lord, he will speak to you again, and your calling can go forward from that point on. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 is a very important verse for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, he who calls you is faithful, and he also will do it. Or some versions say he will see it come to pass. God is faithful. He never loses faith. He doesn't give up on anybody until their last breath is taken. He is faithful, and he is able to open doors for you. He is able to knock down barriers and knock down brick walls for you. He is able to open doors that no man can shut, and he will propel you and push you and encourage you and strengthen you to go forward into that calling that you're running from. And so he will do it. He is faithful. And if you just rely on the faith of God, you have your own measure of faith, but you can draw more faith from God. You can draw strength from God. You can draw courage from God. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of love and discipline and a sound mind. And so don't let fear overcome you thinking about, oh, how am I going to go on a mission trip, or how am I going to raise money to do this or do that for the kingdom. Just step forward in faith, step forward with boldness and with courage, and God will give you the strength to do those things that you in your natural cannot do. Well, in verse 2 then, Jonah is over in Nineveh, and he's starting to preach just as God had called him to do. And so the Lord says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach it to the message that I tell you. And in verse 3, Jonah arose, he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now it says Nineveh was a exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city, verse 4, on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, the message of the gospel hasn't changed from the days of Jonah. The message of the gospel hasn't changed from the days of the Israelites going into the promised land. The message of the gospel is still the same. Repent, repent, repent. Turn from your wicked ways and you will be blessed. Turn from your wicked ways and you will find salvation. First for Jonah. Jonah said, I have found salvation. I have now found that salvation is from the Lord. And now Jonah, the preacher, not the rebel, but the preacher, is going to Nineveh to preach the salvation message to the people of Nineveh. And so the same message John the Baptist gave as the forerunner of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the same message Jesus preached when he was walking on the earth. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and be baptized. Well, in Matthew 3:7, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming out to the Jordan River to where John the Baptist was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And verse 8 in Matthew 3, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And even now, verse 10, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And so the axe is the word of God. The axe is that word that cuts, and it cuts through our bones and our marrow. It cuts through the soul and the spirit. The word of God pierces into your heart. You know, when you read the word of God, it pierces your heart. It puts a mirror up in front of your life. It puts a mirror up in front of you so you can look at your life and overlay it on the word of God and see if you're living in a way that God desires you to live. And so the axe, then, the word of God, is laid to the root of the tree, and every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, beloved, we can look at our life, and they're similar, I would say, to a tree. That's what John the Baptist is saying. If we don't have good fruits, if our lives are not bearing any fruit that is worthy of the Lord, if our lives are not bearing any fruit that brings righteousness and kindness and brings glory to the Lord, then we are going to have our tree thrown into the fire. That's a simile, a symbolic representation of hell, the lake of fire, that fire that never goes out, that fire that consumes us. And once you get in that fire, beloved, it's just like heaven, only the reverse. You are separated from God. You have no light. There is no hope. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no kindness. There's no love. And so that light that goes out when you go into hell, that darkness stays there for all eternity, and you will be separated from your Creator. You'll be separated from your holy God, and you will never again know peace, joy, love, or any of those things that you knew on the earth. And so John the Baptist said to the Pharisees, bear fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, he is telling them, John the Baptist was saying to them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, Jonah goes on into Nineveh, and he preaches, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Well, the people of Nineveh believed the message. Can you imagine that? Sometimes the people believe the message. When we preach the Crusades, you don't know who the Holy Spirit is going to hit. You don't know who is going to be convicted in their hearts. Even in Tanzania, I've had Muslims dressed in hijabs, Muslim ladies and Muslim men with Muslim caps on and dressed in Muslim clothing, Muslim garb, and they come to the front of the altar. They come and they repent and they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, even while they're dressed in their Muslim outfits. And so you don't know who the Holy Spirit is going to hit. You don't know who is going to be pierced by the truth of the gospel. You don't know whose heart is going to be circumcised. And so you just preach the gospel and you let the Lord pierce the hearts of the people with the truth of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, the Holy Spirit is like the wind, and it comes from one place and it goes to another, and then it comes from another place and it goes to another. You don't know how the wind is going to travel. You don't know where it's going, where it's been. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. You don't know how it's going to travel and how it's going to pierce people's hearts. So it says in verse 5, the people of Nineveh believe God, and they proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Sackcloth is an indication of spiritual poverty, spiritual hunger. Sackcloth is like putting on no clothing. I mean, it's just a covering, plain and simple, with no distinction. And so when people put on sackcloth, it's an indication that they're humbling themselves before God. It's like throwing dust on their head. It's a humbling before God, saying to God, forgive me, I'm repenting. And then the word in verse 6, it even came to the king in Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe. And the king covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Well, beloved, this is an absolute supernatural miracle. You don't see a whole city turn away from their wicked ways, turn away from their evil, and turn back to God. Maybe we're not preaching the gospel with power like I've heard in the past. Some whole cities, even in America, back in the 1800s, turned away from their evil ways. The bars shut down, the jails opened up, people went home, and there was great supernatural deliverance of prostitutes and drunkards and all kinds of stuff. Well, we just don't see that much anymore, but I believe the day is coming when you're going to see a supernatural transformation of the people in the United States turning back to the Lord, repenting of their sins and turning back to the Lord. And I hope and pray that this happens in Russia, that the people will humble themselves there also and take back their country from their evil dictator. And so we can pray that just as this king in Nineveh got pierced to the heart and he spoke to the people under him, under his charge, he spoke to them and says, we're going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to not drink water, we're even going to cover our livestock, our cows and our sheep, we're going to cover them with sackcloth, and we're going to pray that people will turn to God and they will turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hand. And then the king says, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger that we may not perish? Well, beloved, this is just an amazing story. It's so amazing. It is almost unbelievable. And yet this is the power of the gospel to save people. This is the power of God unto salvation. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 that he is not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power that delivers people. It is the power that sets people free and gives them eternal life. And so when we preach that gospel, we may feel inadequate as humans. We may feel inadequate as people. We know the gospel has power. We know the gospel has undeniable power that can set people free. And I've seen it in the Crusades as I spoke. You don't know who is going to come to the Lord that day. You just have to get up there and preach with power and preach with boldness. Because, beloved, when the word of God comes out of your mouth, when the word comes out of your mouth, it has the same power as it has coming out of my mouth or coming out of God's mouth, because it isn't our power. It's the power of the word. It's the power of the gospel. It's the power to save people, and it comes directly from the heart of God and the throne of God. Well, the mighty miracle then in verse 10 is what is shown here. Then God saw their works. He saw the works of the people of Nineveh, how they had humbled themselves, how they'd covered their livestock with sackcloth, how they'd sat in ashes and prayed and fasted. And it says they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And so the whole city of Nineveh, apparently there was 120,000, tells us in chapter 4, verse 11, there was 120,000 persons in this city, maybe more if that's just counting the men, which they did oftentimes in those days, but there was at least 120,000 persons in this city who turned from their evil ways and cried out to the Lord, fasted and prayed, and God said, I'm going to relent of the disaster which I had spoken against them, and I'm going to relent and give them salvation and give them the promise of eternal life in my kingdom. Well, beloved, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, and even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the word of God is quick and powerful. It will separate a person's soul from his spirit, and that spirit is what God wants to speak to. That spirit is what God wants to communicate with. Everybody has a spirit. You were made in the image of God. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit here. I'm talking about your human spirit. You were made in the image of God. God blew his breath into you, and you became a living soul. And so that spirit that is in you, it gets tainted and it gets polluted as you live your life. You have experiences, you have rebellion, you have unforgiveness, you have betrayal against you, you have abuse against you, and you've been stolen from, you've been lied to, and so our soul gets polluted, and it starts to become defiled. It starts to become very angry. It starts to become very bitter. We have sexual relationships that are immoral, and we have relationships with other people that are not right, they're not true, they're not honest. And so our soul gets very polluted, and our soul then, in a way, it starts to smother that spirit, and it starts to smother that spirit in a way that our spirit cannot communicate with God. And so the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to cut between the soul and the spirit, and cut that soul, those soulish ties, those soulish pollution and defilement. It cuts that out, and our spirit then can receive the message that God has for us, and our spirit then desires to be reunited with God. And so even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, when we read the word of God, when we hear the word of God, it even cuts to that place where our motives and our actions and the things that we do, it even discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. In other words, our thoughts of our mind, the thoughts of our heart, or the passion, the motives of our heart, it's all revealed by the word of God. Well, beloved, God's plan for you is also to have eternal life. God's plan for you is also to know him for all eternity, to know his son Jesus Christ for all eternity, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to receive that blood sacrifice, that atonement that Jesus gave on the cross, that blood sacrifice, that ransom that was paid for your life. You have been bought with a price, and that price is very high. That price is the blood of Jesus. and that ransom was paid on the cross of Calvary, and you should be very thankful, because no matter what you've done in your life, no matter where you've been or how polluted your soul is, today the mercies of the Lord are new for you, and today the salvation of the Lord is available to you. Well, I hope that you confess your sins just like the people of Nineveh. You confess your sin today, that you repent and turn from your evil way and the violence that is in your hand, and you say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to know you. I want to have you to be my master and my savior, and I will go forth from this day forward as a servant, as a bondservant to you. Well, beloved, we're going to wrap up this message on Jonah next week. And so I hope you tune in and hear that message here in the very same place and same time next week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you to pray for us and support us. And we can't do what we do here in Africa. We can't do what we do in America with the radio broadcast without your support. So sit down today. We'd love to hear from you. Jot us out a note of appreciation. Jot us out a letter. Let us know you're listening. And write us out a check. Give us a contribution. We can keep these projects going in Africa and in the USA through the radio broadcast. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.